saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post, view our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You heard the man, but Barry's out. Raheel is in. We appreciate him like we appreciate you. And you Blitzers, we appreciate your patience for a night as they are in Vegas. And we're not able to do this slot, so we shuffled the deck. And we will take you here from Twin Peaks tonight back in our regular slot 1 to 4 tomorrow. A lot of good texts coming in. People letting us know, one, that they thought that the team was doing a different theme every week and dressing up, but I know that aside from, if you want to call dressing up, what DeAndre Hopkins wore with that floral robe thing he wore last week.
Yo, that was so fly.
I don't think that was a costume. But I didn't see that happening all year. I don't know if you guys know any different. But there was that. Then a lot of people asking, are we going to be covering the game like we did with the playoff baseball games on ESPN 97.5? Some people going so far as to say, I'm so loyal to 97.5, I can't see changing the dial. Well, then I'd find a television because we are not carrying the game itself tonight.
Dude, we won't hold it against you if you want to listen on the radio.
Yeah, like, we won't call you a traitor if for this game you flip over to Vandy and Andre. So,
rock and roll. Love Vandy. One of the nicest guys, by the way.
It's crazy because I heard someone start to say some bad. I was like, Mark Vandermeer is as nice a guy as you will find on the planet. I'll tell you off the air because it's someone you know, but it was shocking to me because Vandy is classy. He's a pro's pro, and he's a good dude.
Man. I'll wait because I was going to say something. I'll wait for that. That's crazy. How excited are fans about this game, you think?
Like, I think here's the thing. I think that for as much as Texans fans could be wishy-washy, and I heard you guys this morning and kind of having some fun, passive-aggressive with, you know, because the fans will be there on time and they'll be early and they'll be loud and all these things and tougher stadiums to play in. But at the same time, I think that they realize how important this game is. They do always seem to get up for the night games and the national TV games. So I do expect them to be a little bit earlier, a little bit louder. And they realize the implications if they lose. But I'll let you comment on that because I got another one I want to throw at you after that. But do you expect it?
I think it's going to be lukewarm at best, especially coming off the stinker with the Ravens.
Okay.
And I'm just basing this on, again, I know it's a small sample size, but anytime that we talk about the Texans and, you know, like we were excited, John and I were at least, I was pumped. I did a sports map thing about why this team is different on offense. There's like actual statistics backing it. I'm pumped up for the game. But anytime we talk about the Texans, anytime we bring up anything Texans topic, it's a zero. Like, it just feels like there's no excitement. No one comments on it. And I'm basing it on that. I'm basing it on also season ticket holders that I know, my brother being one of them.
Sure, sure.
And he's like, man, I can't even resell my tickets. It's so bad right now. There's no interest level. Before, it was easy. Like, you put the tickets up, boom, there you go. This is a division game, everything you've laid out. Right?
Because
like,
I would say this, with the videos and the things that I've put up on SportsMap, the one thing that I have realized is when you are honestly critical of Bill O'Brien, you will get support. So that's what I was going to throw back at you. In looking at everything he did this season, which is completely different than what he's done in the past, and the fact that he's your coach and your general manager, and he's in go-for-it mode, and he's given up the future and the cupboard full of draft picks for the guys that he brought in so that he could possibly, one, save his ass, and two, have a team that had enough talent to go for it. If they lose tonight, is this either the first cut or the big dagger that says This is when the Cal McNair sits down and goes, I might have to reevaluate Bill O'Brien's future.
Oh, they're not getting reevaluated. There's nothing that – see, in my opinion, there's nothing that was going to happen this season that was going to make him reevaluate. There's no hot seat with the Texans. The McNair family,
so
there's never happened. There's never been a hot seat with the McNairs.
It's just so bizarre to me because when you look at this team and you look at what he's tried to do this year, it's so blatantly obvious that he's thrown caution to the wind about the future. And basically, if you are him and you look at this, unless you think like you just said, and you look at it and go, you know what? I may not be here that much longer. And I know that there's always been pressure on me. But if I trade away all these draft picks, guess what? It doesn't bother me if I'm not here. If it costs me my job, then so be it. But if I'm able to pull the right moves and make the right trades so that my team is better and we can win more than one playoff game, then maybe I can change the tune of a lot of fans in this town. And he went for it. And I look at this and I say, okay, one, if you don't make it this year, you can't. The one thing you can't predict is injuries. And, yeah, you can cry all the way to the J.J. Watt injury and some of the guys that's been hurt.
Yeah.
But no one feels sympathy for you because everybody goes through injuries. The thing is you have stifled this franchise's future because not only have you traded draft picks, but you tell me a general manager out there or a general manager candidate that looks at this opportunity and one says, oh, I can work with that. I got those draft picks and I got, you know, they're not winning, so I'll have a higher pick. I can do that. And then, oh, by the way, the head coach, whether he gives up the GM title or not, he has more pull than anybody short of an owner in the NFL.
Yep.
Or Bill Belichick, right? So why would I go there and why would I take that gig?
And that's why I'm saying there's no hot seat because if Bill O'Brien, let's say he had a 2-14 season.
Yep.
Okay? No injuries, 2-14 season. You think they're getting rid of him? I don't think they are because it's the same stuff you just said. Like, you just leverage the future. Yep. Which GM is coming here?
Right.
Now which coach wants a part of this? And a coach looks at it and goes, I want Deshaun. Deshaun's there. Okay, maybe that's why. That would be one of the reasons.
I would say that's one positive for sure.
But then you look at it and you go, okay, if there's a hot candidate out there, there's going to be several jobs open. Why would they pick that bleep show in Houston that has never done anything?
Well, I think that offensively you look at it and you say, especially because they got – now, again, it's a bad move that was a good move in the fact that, yeah, you traded for Tunsil and you gave up what you gave up, but you didn't make part of the deal that you signed him long term. So he might also be a guy that says, hey, appreciate you getting me out of Miami. Love the opportunity to play here. But based on the way this thing is set up, I'm going for greener pastures, both financially and otherwise. And he may skip too. So, I say that to say, look, with what you have on the roster in terms of youth, offensively you have a lot of talent. And you did, whether they were tackles or guards. You got two guys that could play on the offensive line. You have a left tackle that you traded for. So you have three real key cogs going forward. Your skill positions, assuming you can hang on to Stills, and you have D-Hop, and if again, the big issue is if Fuller could stay healthy. But you've got a pretty good depth there. Running back looks like those two guys can make you forget Lamar Miller and his salary and go, I can live with those two guys at running back.
You got to re-sign both. You got to re-sign them too, right?
But that's
like
the other thing.
Still here,
when he wasn't making moves in trades, the moves that he did make were one-year short-term deal. Like a guy like Roby who has played his ass off until he got hurt and a guy you want back, but you don't think the rest of the league saw it too and goes, you know what? I need a corner and that guy could play.
Yep.
So it's you're right. I mean, but here's the thing. Then the other question is, a lot of guys are saying, do I want to go there? But then the other thing is, what other coaches out there do you think would take what we've just talked about and make them better?
Yeah. Do you want okay, it's like if you're a coach that has a pick at any of the openings, right? Like, let's go Miami, Cincinnati.
I think Carolina could very well
Carolina,
be open, right?
Yeah. Like, so you look at some of these teams and you go, fine, they have Deshaun in Houston, but I'm actually going to have assets that I can add on into my coaching career here, and I can draft guys with my GM and be on the same page and all that good stuff. It's crazy. And you know, you mentioned the O-linemen. You know, they bring in two guys. They draft actually well this year. And that GM is gone, by the way.
Exactly. And here's the other thing to factor into all that. You say, okay, I don't have draft picks, but if I can go out in free agency and get guys that I need, then I'm going to be okay too. But then you start talking about the Tunsil deal mm-hmm. and the money you got to come up with. And, oh, by the way, your franchise quarterback is going to have to get paid in the near future, and you're going to have to back the Brinks truck up. So now you got those two contracts to worry about. And you've got guys that you have to really make hard decisions on, including J.J. Watt, if you want to have any money at all to try and make sure you can dabble a little bit in free agency. So the thing is, you don't have draft picks. You don't have the financial resources available to go out and make significant moves via free agency. The only thing you could do is make more trades. But again, what are you giving up? Who wants your veteran players for some youth that have really good talent? It's just, if they don't win this year, it could be a very dark future for the next 3 to 5 years for this franchise.
I got some inactives here for you. Reed is out. Lonnie Johnson is out. Roby is out. Kiki QT, doesn't matter if he's out or in. There's nothing there.
He's fallen way off of favor with everybody.
And then Clark is out as well. So
the one that was interesting was when Sarah Barshop was on in hour number one, she was still under the impression that, Roby's status could change and he still might be available, which would have helped them immensely this evening with T.Y. Hilton. But evidently the hamstring is not where they wanted it to be, and so he's going to sit out another week. I believe it was a hamstring, right?
Yeah,
so, hamstring for Roby. Yeah, so, I mean, that's, again, it's going to be, can the Colts take care of getting enough time? And they have a great offensive line. But if you are going to make sure with Mac out, you don't have to worry about the running game as much. Although, you know, Sarah even pointed out the backup ran for 100 yards. But do you want, what are you going to live by the sword, die by the sword? What are you going to live with? Are you going to get beat by Brissett throwing the ball long? Or are you going to get beat by the running game that's just going to drag you right through the middle of the field?
Fred's Dark Side on Twitter says Texans are dressed for that fatality that's about to be handed to them.
Okay.
Okay, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Costumes, great. Another Letterman game coming.
I thought that. Yep. I'm on the same wavelength with that person right there.
And then Brother Bear says, finish them. Maybe that's the reference. I don't want a bunch of guys using that. I don't want anybody finishing anybody.
Text message says they're predicting 28-0 Colt dominance. Not good.
It's going to be ridiculous. The tweets are coming in now about the stupid costume the linebackers wore. And they didn't even pull the costume out correctly. None of them look like the actual characters on Mortal Kombat. They just took some of the elements of it and used it. They look more like those dancing guys. Remember those, the masked dancing guys?
Yeah.
What are they called?
Jabberwockies.
The one with the white face?
Yeah, the Jabberwockies. Shaq did that thing at the All-Star game.
That's what they look like.
Yeah. All right, you know what we look like? We look like we're in the final hour of the show as we fill in for the Blitz. It's the usual suspects. It's Raheel and Joel, Tyler and Aaron, taking you all the way till 7 o'clock right here, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, rolling through the final hour of the show as we take you till 7 o'clock on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry out in OKC doing some comedy. Nick out in Vegas with AJ and Fred and the Blitz and all the guys covering the fight this weekend. So we are here, Tyler on site, Aaron Raybould back at the studio, and Raheel filling in for Barry as we're having some fun. Appreciate all the positive messages we've been getting on text and Twitter as that makes us always feel a little bit better as we're doing what we do and filling in a little bit. We'll be back in the regular slot again tomorrow, 1 to 4 p.m. So we've got that going for us. Hey, Aaron, is Chase still on the phone?
He is not.
Okay, so Chase was with us, left us. Chase, if you get a chance to call back, we'll get you on there. You want to talk a little bit about this Texans-Colts game. You brought up something that you found on the internet that I've seen several people discussing. I think when you just get the generalities of a headline, I think guys would be like, yeah, okay. And then when you get the details, I think it would be a T.Y. Hilton special, it would be a pass.
Yeah. So here it is. Headline, male birth control could be available in 6 months. Okay?
All right.
What's up?
There you go.
Finally, we can do something on our
end. One pill does it all, just like with the women, and you're good, and it's done, and
it's not that easy.
Oh, yeah. Tell them.
You're going to have to get this male birth control injected into the groin area. Are you taking a shot?
No.
To get your shot off.
And no. Because if you remember correctly, there was a time a while back where we had a sponsor that was all about helping males in a lot of ways enhancement-wise. The only sidebar was it was through a needle, and that needle was not going in your bicep.
No.
No thanks. Not gonna do it.
So this would replace a surgical vasectomy. This shot would do that. You doing it, Joel?
Nope.
By the way, congratulations
Thank
to you.
You very much.
Second kid.
Thank you. Yep.
Happy. Everyone's healthy. That's the
yes,
biggest thing.
Absolutely right.
Blessings for everyone. You're good with two.
Well, we had the discussion, honestly.
Uh-oh.
Because they ask you as everything's about to go down in the operating room and everything like that. And we said, no, we're not ready to call it quits yet. So,
man, props to y'all.
So, yeah, so the opportunity is still there. But I know for a lot of people, they've thought about it. I don't think they'd think about it if it meant sticking something very sharp in their manliness.
Yeah, that's scary.
I think the thought of it should scare people into basically not being able to have kids. If you think about it, there's no way you're going to be able to maintain.
But I was going to say, yeah, that shot's scary, but a second one would be scarier. That's like a shot to the groin every day.
Well, you know.
Look, people ask me all the time, right? Because that's when you have one kid, the obvious next question is, you want another one? And everyone's like, yeah, you know, you should have another one. It's great for your daughter. She'll have somebody to play with, and that's beautiful. And I said, yeah, I pay for her to go play with kids at daycare. That's what
so
I pay
really
for.
So really one and done, right?
I'm good.
That's it for you?
I'm good. One and done, baby. I'm out first weekend of the tournament.
And
knock me out, baby. I'm a 16. I'm 16.
You're a sports guy. You never thought about, I want to have a boy. I want to be able to play catch and shoot hoops in the back and all that other stuff?
No. No, I'll go shoot hoops with my buddies.
Okay.
I'll go shoot hoops with you, Joel.
You don't, well, we've done that, but you don't want to carry on the family name and worry about all that? You can put that on your brother's shoulders or somebody else?
Oh, my brother's, he's like, I'm not having kids. He put that on my shoulders. I'm my older brother.
And you're the only two?
Yeah.
And that's it?
Only two guys, yeah. And then we have two sisters as well.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my biggest thing forever, was the fact that I was the only boy, my two sisters, and I'm like, you know what? I want to carry on the family name. It's important to me. I want to do that kind of thing. And then when you go through any kind of trials and tribulations and you realize, as you said, that I'm a firm believer in, it's so important that you worry less about the sex of the child, and the most important thing is how healthy they are. But, you know, I had two sisters. Lisa had comes from a family of multiple kids. And when we were talking about it, she basically said, look, it was spaced out with me and my brother the same way it would be with Taylor and now Madison. And I said, look, I don't want Taylor growing up all by herself in the house. Yeah, I know she has friends at school, but I think it would be kind of neat. And so, again, when you're faced with odds, and you know me, I'm competitive anyway, but when we were faced with odds that the percentages were pretty low about whether we could actually have another kid, when we actually just said, let's just take our chances, and we found out we were having another kid, it's a fantastic feeling.
That's a great competitive sport right there.
Yeah, you give me some percentages that are weighted against me.
You give me percentages.
And I'll take a crack at it pretty much every time.
That's a percentage where you always finish a job.
Yeah. What are the odds second kid's day? I won that one. So.
Yeah. That's every time my wife sends me a text message, I'm like, please don't. Please don't.
Does she ever get the itch to bring it back up to you?
Oh, she wants one all the time.
Is that right?
And I said, go find another man, baby.
Wow.
No. I'm good with just this. I love my daughter to death. Yep. She's my baby.
I'm same way.
I don't want to share that love with anybody.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. And I don't want to get up early in the mornings either. I'm spoiled.
Well, that's the one thing that I forgot about.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. You know, of all the joy of having a second child, I forgot how painful it is that every 2.5 to 3 hours, if you're lucky, you're on a schedule getting up and sucks. Between diapers and bottles and things like that. It definitely changes your world a little bit.
All right, let me another family story for you. Next week's Thanksgiving.
Yep.
All right. What are your plans for Thanksgiving, first of all? What do you do?
So Lisa's mom has been here before, during, and after Madison's birth. So she has to go back to do Thanksgiving with the family back in California. So essentially, Lisa today, because Lisa's vegan, she was actually placing an order for me for a turkey so that we could have a small turkey and we'll have it, everything. It's just going to be the family. It's going to be at the house. It's going to be quiet. And I don't mind that.
Yeah, that's
and good. I don't have 45 people staying at my house.
You don't have people coming in either.
No.
It's just you four.
Now, if there's some of my friends, and we've always done this, but there are friends of mine that you know all by themselves or whatever, they're more than welcome to come on over and whatever, that you know, help themselves, watch some sports, eat some great food. Perfect.
I'll tell Del to come over.
If Delvin Diesel wants to do that, then Delvin
there's
Diesel.
There's no chance he would ever come over.
Pretty much.
And it's not a you thing. Anybody's house. Don't worry. Del's not going. So, yeah, for me, like, I'm going to have 40 people around me, right?
Is it at your house or your
no,
parents' house?
No, this year it's in San Antonio.
Okay.
So we're driving up to see my uncle in San Antonio.
Okay.
And I used to live in San
Antonio. So it's never going to be at your house, though. It's going to be at your parents' house, right?
My house, no. My house is way too small.
Okay.
Now, hopefully one day, you know, AJ listens back and he's like, God, I love what you did with Joel today, and we're going to give you a raise, and hopefully, you know, as my career progresses, maybe I'll buy a big house. But right now, no. There's no room for that many people in our house.
Okay.
But the average American, 75% of Americans admit they need to escape family during the holidays. That's like the most obvious story, right? But there's an actual time that they put out. 3 hours and 45 minutes is about where you get tired. You're like, all right. Or 3 hours and 54 minutes is about where you get exhausted. You're like, okay, I'm done. Is that about the right number for you? About 4 hours is when you're with family?
When we had the big family gatherings, I think the biggest thing for me was how much alcohol was consumed. Because especially if, like, my sisters and their husbands were coming over after, you know, maybe a little pre-festivities, where a lot of times one sister came from out of town in one city and another from the other, and they would get together at one of their houses before they got to our house, then I think that that's pretty fair. But if everybody got started at the same time with an even playing field going into the start of the dinner, I think you could go a little longer than that.
A little bit longer. Yeah. Yeah, see, like, we don't drink in our family, right? So there's no drunk relatives, which is nice. So, like, it's a little bit longer for us, too.
Yeah,
go the whole day.
I mean,
spend
the
night together.
Now, I don't drink anymore, and Lisa doesn't, but I'm telling you this. Most of the greatest family fights I've ever been a part of and witnessed and had to get through were all due to excessive drinking on a holiday.
Yeah, I can't.
Oh, my God.
Every time.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, for me, I mean, and the other thing was my dad and I were always watching the games, and if my sister's husbands wanted to partake, so be it. But that passed the time a hell of a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so there's a little pre-Thanksgiving for you as well as we continue to roll through the final hour of The Usual Suspects. So it's like we have about 30 minutes to go on the show, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, put 30 minutes on the clock, take you all the way till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
Like, I'm just trying to find, I've been looking for a new way. I'm just really trying not to really do the fool way.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 road show. Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, coming to you live from the Twin Peaks I-10 in Kirkwood location. As we appreciate you guys being patient with us as we fill in for the Blitz today. Raheel, I appreciate you filling in for Barry. Tomorrow, we're going to be back in the regular slot. We're going to be back at the regular time. Josh Jordan is going to join me from Moneyline, and we're going to have some fun and get you ready for fantasy football this weekend and the matchups and all that good stuff. So that should be some fun. News of the day, if you missed it, the NFL had their rulings on Myles Garrett and all the suspension surrounding that Browns-Steelers melee. Garrett is still under suspension indefinitely, as nothing was done there, even after he had said that Mason Rudolph used a racial slur to motivate him to use the helmet as a weapon.
Yep.
They said they found no evidence of that. Therefore, he was his suspension stayed intact, as did Ogunjobi's one-game suspension for hitting Miles Rudolph in the back. Pouncey's was reduced from 3 games to 2 games in that situation. News out of baseball, a guy that I wrote about for Sports Map as a guy that was kind of a reach, but maybe a guy that could help the Astros' offense even more in free agency, Yasmani Grandal. He's available. He was available. He's not available. The White Sox, 4 years, $73 million. With Springer's deal coming up and Correa and whatever you're going to do or not do with Garrett Cole and the pitching staff, there's no way the Astros were going to be able to afford to do that. So that deal. And, Raheel, here's one that's interesting that I was not aware of in terms of, like, I don't know if you collected cards and stuff when you were a kid.
I do. I still have a collection somewhere.
I do, too.
Yeah, I love it.
And, you know, my mom ended up saving all mine and sent them to me at some time, and I hung on to them and that. But do you remember Fred Cox? And I don't use this to be funny with the name.
No, I don't.
So Fred Cox was a longtime kicker for the Minnesota Vikings. He's actually their all-time leading scorer.
Okay.
Sidebar, he also invented the Nerf football.
Whoa. I did not know that.
Pretty cool resume at the end of your life when you say, not only am I the all-time leading scorer in Vikings history, but I created the Nerf ball. When we were kids, Nerf ball was pretty cool.
Nerf ball
right?
was the best. You take it to school, you could throw it around. In the hallways, that's why that was the best. Like, you're like, hey, I'm going to throw it in between periods.
Yep. The more you know, Aaron. Fred Cox passed away at the age of 80, the team announced today. Never missed a game in 15 seasons, 1963, 1977.
Good job.
And the inventor of the Nerf ball, way to go, Fred.
Now, was it the original Nerf football or the one that goes... The spinner, the noise one?
I think that's all a spinoff of...
That one was badass.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, you try to see how fast you can go.
Yep. 50 greatest Vikings of all time.
Nice. Vortex football. That was the other one. There you go.
They also did, what was the Frisbee that was the... It was like a ring, and it was like a hard plastic ring with rubber around it, but you could throw it like 300 to 500 yards.
I know what you're talking about.
That was pretty badass, too. And then the spinoff of the Nerf was a thing called an Itza ball.
I didn't get that.
So instead of Nerf spongy foam, it was like you actually inflated it.
Okay.
But that thing could hurl it a mile, and it would bounce around. So we used that one of those when we were kids as well, too. But rest in peace, Fred Cox.
There you go. Hey, I have a question for you. What did you think about – I don't know if you had a chance to talk about it yesterday, because I thought it broke late night yesterday. But I don't know if you saw what happened with Memphis and James Wiseman. They're, you know, one of the highest recruits, number one overall pick more than likely. The NCAA ruled him out for 12 games because of a recruiting violation that occurred when Anfernee wasn't the coach, and – there's a lot of stuff there. He gave some money to the family valued at $11,500. Fast forward, kid had no idea about it. The mom took the money. And the NCAA ruled that the kid's going to get 12 games. He already sat one, so he only has 11 left. But he also has to pay $11,500 to a charity as part of the punishment.
So isn't that basically admitting your own faults as an organization, NCAA? Because you're assuming that this kid who's going to be a first-round pick but is supposed to be an amateur from a tough background that had a hard time paying moving expenses that your now head coach paid for, and he was labeled a quote-unquote booster, which is why it was a violation in the first place. But he's supposed to just pull $11,000, $12,000 bucks out of his pocket and go, yeah, let's just pick a charity. You know what I'm picking?
Dude.
I'm picking the Wiseman Foundation. I'm going to create my own charity. I'm going to pay myself so that I don't lose the money.
That's a good call. That's a follow the money right there for real.
Because that's the whole story, right? Before Penny Hardaway got the head coaching job, he was the kid's high school coach. He was the kid's mentor. He was their AAU coach. And so he knew the family needed money for moving expenses. So he helped them out and then became the head coach at Memphis. And then this became a big deal, and now the kid's suspended. Can't play till January.
Man, I'm lucky where I am in life. I can't make an $11,000 donation right now.
Serious, man.
Like, what? What do they expect from this kid? And is there a timeline to when, if he doesn't do it?
That was interesting. Someone asked that, and they didn't say.
So is this just in the future when you?
I get it. If you're a first round draft pick, then it's fine. Yeah, then you can pay it off. But if they're expecting him to do it before he rejoins the Tigers, come on,
that's crazy. If you have a few bucks to donate, by the way, you can donate to my Movember campaign. That'd be pretty nice
there
if people want to do that.
How to do that?
Just go to my Twitter account at @_Raheel. And a lot of people do Movember. You keep the mustache, but this year special to me because I was part of their global campaign, and I'm one of the faces of the campaign.
It's very cool if you haven't seen it. Raheel on the post. We give him a hard time about it, but the posters. You were on buses in New York, right?
Yeah, subways, signs in Australia, New Zealand. I was on Sports Tonight. What is it? Sports Night in Canada, which is a big deal over there. I didn't know.
Oh, don't you know you betcha up there for the organization?
My brother-in-law was watching, and he's like, that looks like my brother-in-law. So my sister lives up there, but she saw me on Sports Night in Canada or some hockey night, whatever that show is.
Very cool.
But it's a very special thing to me this year, so please, and it always has been, but please go to my Twitter account at @_Raheel, or just look Raheel up on Twitter, and I'll come up because there's no other Raheels out there anymore. I managed to get them all off of Twitter. And you can donate there. It's the first tweet there, so I would appreciate that. And
absolutely.
If the Wiseman family's listening, you want to donate $11,000 to my Movember page, please go ahead. I'll gladly take it.
I thought you were going to actually tell me that someone set up a GoFundMe for them.
They did.
To pay that.
They did. Somebody
is that true?
Did. Yeah, somebody already did. Our guy, Jason Williams, Jay Williams.
Jay Will from ESPN,
yeah, Jay Williams
Duke.
Yep, he set up an account. He set up a GoFundMe for the Wiseman family, saying this is absolutely unacceptable. So let's do a GoFundMe, save, raise it for the family, and we'll donate on their behalf.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, Jay, that's awesome.
And it bucks the system, which I like.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jay Will's a big basketball guy. And, look, you talk about a guy that had the whole world in front of him and then was a motorcycle accident.
Yep.
He was a top three lottery pick in the NBA. He had everything money-wise was coming his way. And then because of a motorcycle accident, never the same, never really played, and then ended up getting into broadcasting, luckily. But his career would have been totally different had he not got on a motorcycle. But he knows how the system works, and I like that he's doing that.
You know, I ran into him one time in New York City at like 3 in the morning.
Oh, really?
It was at a late-night place. Everybody's going to go eat.
With or without old girl that was caught showing her wares on the long distance that he used to date, Carissa Thompson.
No, she was not. This was before that. This was 2000. This was after I graduated college, so 2007, roughly.
Okay.
Yeah, around 2007. This was after the accident and everything, though.
Okay.
So it's like 3 in the morning. There's a guy, an artist. I want to say a homeless guy, but it was just an artist.
Uh-huh.
And you could pay him to rap about you. So, like, people were giving him $5. Jay Will comes up, gives him a 20, and the guy did 3 minutes on Jason Williams. That was pretty dope. That's my Jay Williams story for you.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, drunk Jay Williams enjoying a freestyle from an artist on New York Street.
Thank God you said from an artist.
Yeah, from an
artist.
Could
have been at a strip joint, then it still would have been an artist, and it could have been a freestyle.
Yeah, it could have been a different artist, for sure.
You never know. And again, Aaron could play that music about the more you know. Just from that alone. And the fact that you're on subways and buses. But, okay, we're getting ready for the Texans game to start at 7 o'clock. So we have one segment to go before we get the heck up out of here. But we are I-10 and Kirkwood at Twin Peaks. Want to remind you that a lot of things going on at Twin Peaks. The calendars are out now. If you want to pick one of those up, you definitely can pick up a Twin Peaks calendar. And half the proceeds go to charity. So that's a fantastic deal. They're going to be closed on Thanksgiving as an FYI. But on Black Friday, it's going to be a big deal because all the girls are going to be dressed appropriately on their version of Black Friday. Take a break from the shopping and the madness to stop in for the costume party and sweet deals like $5 mimosas, Bloody Marys, margaritas, and more. That is coming up next Friday. So lots of stuff there at Twin Peaks. And as we always like to tell you, 5 area Houston locations. One's got to be close to you. And from the homemade, made-from-scratch food that we've got in front of us right now, the 29-degree beers, or just the beautiful Twin Peaks girls and a great place to watch sports. It's eats, it's drinks, scenic views, got to be Twin Peaks. We'll be back to wrap things up right here on ESPN 97.5. Nobody can't stop me, put a 9-8, got a still a million copy. I'm a crow slow, puffing on the optimal, hit the...
You going to answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow.
Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final segment of the show. Always appreciate you guys tuning us in, whether it's in our normal slot of 1 to 4 every day on ESPN 97.5, or in this special occasion when the Blitz is out in Vegas and we're able to get a run like this. A lot of people loving the fact that Raheel and I, you and I go way, way back.
Yeah, way back. Like back when I started my career, you were actually one of the first like few friends I had over here, at the Rockets especially.
Yep, and you and Nuno used to do your podcast, and I used to love doing a couple of segments with you guys and checking in. And what was the name?
No Layups.
No Layups.
No Layups,
right.
Yeah. We used to do the first video-oriented podcast back in 2008.
Always innovative, you
guys.
Always pushing the envelope. That was fun. So, yeah, we go way back. So any chance we get to work together is always a fun time. So this has been a lot of fun. And the slot is very different. I don't know about you, but, you know, you get into a certain routine when you know what time every day, like I know what time I leave the house and what time we have our pre-production meeting and what time Barry's going to show up between 12:55 and 1.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and today it was weird because I was like, I knew what that routine was, but I'm like, God, I don't have to be to work for a couple more hours.
Still got time, yeah. Yeah.
And so very, very, very different but very cool. Mm-hmm. So AJ with a little bit of a creative idea there to do something different, and we've had some fun with it. I don't know. You had double duty. I didn't have to do that.
Yeah, but I was fine. I was just sitting around at my desk and catching up on reading, catching up on some stuff for next week. But it was easy. It was cool. And then you get down here to Twin Peaks and you enjoy a good meal, talk some sport. Like, it didn't feel like a three-hour show.
It really didn't. It went flying by. And obviously everybody's getting here now, getting ready to do the game. We did have a guy, some guys playing cribbage for a couple hours next to us that all had a minimum age of 65. And as typical guys in their 60s do, they leave the sports bar right before kickoff. So there is a table open right next to us if you're interested in that. I-10 in Kirkwood, if you want to get in here and get a table so you can see the Texans and the Colts. So we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but if you're going to give me a score tonight and you're going to give me a prediction, what do you got?
I got 27-24 Texans win.
27-24 Texans.
Yep.
Okay, Tyler, I'm going to bring you into the mix. Your prediction on how it goes down tonight at NRG?
We'll go Colts 35, Texans 28.
Wow, okay, high scoring.
Wow.
Okay.
T.Y. Hilton's going to have a big game,
yeah,
as
right.
he always
does, right?
Does.
I mean, hard to argue with that. I saw some stat about how many 20-plus yard receptions he's had in the last, like, 5 years, and it's, like, close to, like, 100. It's like, get out of here. I mean, dude is unbelievable. I'm going to say 24-21 Texans.
Okay.
I'm going to go a little lower scoring than Tyler, but I'm going to go with you in terms of a closer game. And I, like I said all along, I think it's going to come down to which team is able to run the ball better. With Mac out, I'm going to be interested to see what Williams can do for the Colts. And we know what their offensive line is, but from the standpoint of the Texans, I like the two-headed monster. If Johnson can give them something on third downs and kind of a change of pace, and they can capitalize on some holes for Hyde, and that gives Watson a little bit more balance in the offense, I think advantage Texans. I expect the Texans to play well at home, and that's why I think that, again, unless they're secondary completely, and it's possible because of all the injuries, but if they crap the bed, then it's a different story. But I'd like to think Texans get this win because they absolutely have to have it or their season, in my mind, is over.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's a tough – and look, the final four games are easy for them. They could still end up with 10 wins.
Final four games. With the Patriots game next week is pushover, right?
So they could go 6-6 into the final 4 weeks where you've got the Titans, Broncos, and Tampa Bay. Titans twice, excuse me. So those four are all winnable games. You should be favored in all four, honestly. So you can still finish 10-6. And
that's a great year. I had them starting the year 1-6. So the fact that they could finish the season 10-6, that would be an impressive year.
Yeah, but do you want to open wild card weekend on the road or at home? So that's what's really at stake.
10-6 this year might not get in for them, depending on whatever happens in the rest of the AFC. So yeah, you've got Oakland is a team that no one thought was going to be there, that they're in the mix for a wild card. You don't want to be in that situation. And again, the the way that Houston football has gone, 9-7, 9-7, or win the division, mm-hmm. you know, and then get eliminated. It would suck if they had a 10-6 record, but they didn't get in. But that's why this game tonight is so important. So we'll see how it plays out. With all that being said, Aaron Rabel back at the station. We certainly appreciate you. You will be with me again tomorrow. Raheel will be available tomorrow morning, bright and early, starting at 9 a.m.
Yep,
so
9
you can catch him. And Tyler, always appreciate you. And, of course, we appreciate the suspects and the blitzers that were patient enough to deal with us for one day. So for all of you guys, we hope you're going to sit back, relax, enjoy some Texans football. Hopefully we'll be talking about a Texans win tomorrow. But we'd like to also thank the people at Twin Peaks, the fantastic Twin Peaks girls. They're always smiling, and they're always so darn helpful. And that's just another reason why you visit one of the five locations of Twin Peaks. For Tyler, Raheel, Aaron, and myself, have a great night, everybody. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, 1 to 4 on the suspects, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.